Good afternoon, everyone. And God bless you on this blessed of days, Holy Friday. Some say Good Friday. Amen. I bring you greetings from New Hope Baptist Church in Hackensack, New Jersey. It is certainly an honor to be here, so I just want to give thanks to Pastor Dwayne and Pastor Anna, amen, for the invitation. My task is to look at the third word or the third utterance that Jesus himself uttered while he was on the cross. So I am going to share with you, amen, from John chapter 19, amen, starting at verse 25. It says, "Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, 'Woman, behold your son.' Then he said to the disciple, 'Beloved, behold your mother.' And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home." Now, when I first thought about what I would say, I said, "Lord, what would you have me to say? We have so many Good Friday services. Can you show me something different that I have not seen before, or my eyes have not seen before?" And the Lord wanted me to come from a perspective of not only a mother's heart. I want to say that the music, the selection was awesome because it put me right into the space of how perhaps Mary felt, because it was heart-wrenching, I'm sure, to see there, to stand by the cross and watch her son be crucified, to watch the nails go into his hand, to watch his side be pierced. I cannot imagine how a mother would much less deal with the loss of a son, because that is not traditionally how it would go. Usually we expect our parents to pass away before we pass away, or before the child pass away. But this was a reversal taking place. And so as she stood at the cross and he uttered his words before the people and before the Roman soldiers and before others who were standing around, I could only imagine when she didn't ask the question, why? Why does my son have to go through this? Even though the angel spoke to her before time and told her that she was going to give birth to the one that was going to come and to save the world, that she didn't ask the question why. Is anybody out here ever asked the question why? That you wondered why some things may be going on in your life? But then I can imagine that Jesus, as he perused the crowd, and as he had spoken the words of asking the Lord to forgive those because they knew not what they were doing, and then as he spoke to the thief, one on the left and one on the right, that he looked over the crowd and saw his beloved mother standing there and told her to look, to woman, to behold the son. And then he said to his disciple, the one who had walked with him, to behold thy mother. What was interesting to me in this is I kind of saw that there was a two-dimensional thing taking place at this time. One, of course, of a natural sense, where a son is looking at his mother and assuming the responsibility of making sure that she was going to be taken care of. In antiquity or in the Old Testament, we find that sometimes women or widows without a husband, sometimes they might be pushed to the side. They may find themselves in grievous situations where they may not have been allowed to own property, to own property, or they may not have been allowed to go outside of the house without their husband's permission. They may not have had permission to own certain things in certain areas. They may not have even been allowed to even speak a word or receive education in certain parts of the Bible. We find women who are subject to the authority of a man. And so I could see why Jesus wanted to place her in a protective measure with one of the disciples, the one that he called John, the one that was his beloved friend, because he knew that if she had gone with him, that she was going to be taken care of and her needs were going to be taken care of from that perspective. But then the second dimension that I kind of wrestled with as I looked at this text, I wondered why he called her woman. I said, why didn't he say, mother, I want you to go home with John? Why is it that he distanced himself by just calling her woman? He didn't say mom. He didn't say any kind of an affectionate term to show that he was even related to her. If you were just a bystander, you may not have even known that that was his mother according to Jesus. But then what dawned on me as I thought about the beginning of time, if you just allow me to go just back for a moment to the Genesis scripture, I thought about the time when Adam and Eve were in the garden and they had partaken of the tree of knowledge, amen, that they were told not to, of life and of knowledge, and they were told not to eat of this, and the serpent shows up on the scene, and as a result, this serpent talks Eve into partaking of this tree of fruit, as we refer to as an apple, but so be as it may. And she does this, and she gives it to Adam, and he partakes of it, and they find themselves in a precarious situation where they know more than they would have known if they had not partaken of what God had instructed them not to partake to taking of. And so now their covering is gone. They stand naked before themselves. They understand some things that they didn't understand before. And so as a result, we find them in the garden amongst the trees, and God is calling out to them. He's summoning them, and Adam responds to God by telling God that he is naked or that they are naked. And the Lord says, how did you find this out? And as a result, he asked them, did you partake? Did you do what I told you not to do? And so it is relevant that now they have partaken of something that they should not have touched or partaken of or eaten of. They've digested something, or something has changed or shifted in them. And so here we find Adam passing the buck and saying, hey, that's that woman you gave me. It's that woman that you gave me. Amen. Don't we do that sometimes? We pass the buck. And then the woman wants to say, well, it's the serpent that beguiled me, that talked me into this. And so this is where I kind of link these two things together. So I want to suggest that as a result of their disobedience, God curses the serpent. Each one has their specific curse or their responsibility that they have to own, but he curses the serpent. And one of the things that God tells us, he said that God is going to put enmity between the man and the woman. He's putting a distance. There's going to not be peace between the two. In other words, the conversations that they were able to have before, where Adam and Eve were covered, they're no longer covered. And so you might be saying, why is she going way over there? Well, what came to mind is when the Lord said between the seed of Eve and the seed of Satan, that showed me, or it came to mind, that perhaps Jesus wanted to place his mother in the company of, or under the protective covering of John, was a prototype of a protective measure of what God means for the woman today, because the woman is the one that carries the seed. The woman is the one that brings forth the children. And as a result of what happened at the beginning of time, we see and understand that God had put enmity between the seed of the woman and the seed of Satan. And so now they have no covering. And so I believe that one other analogy or one other perspective can be that when Jesus referred to his mother as woman, he was talking about all women. He was not just talking about his mother when he tried to distance himself. Could it be possible that he was allowing John to serve as a prototype for Jesus in caring for the nature of a woman, but that she represented the seed down through all generations, because Jesus had a concern? And his concern, when we look back in antiquity in the Old Testament, we see that widows and orphans had a special place in society and that they were always supposed to be taken care of. Could it be that he was setting up something in the spiritual realm that when he put them back together, that when you come through Jesus, then you have protection against the enemy? You have protection against Satan. You have protection against the wiles of the enemy, which is what the cross is all about. That Jesus goes to the cross to defeat Satan and all that Satan represents. Could it be that John is a prototype of a covering, so to speak, for the mother or for all women, that Jesus goes to protect us, that he covers us because we are seed bearers? So what does that mean? That means to me that all of us are under protective covering when we come into Jesus Christ and we accept Jesus as our Savior, that our sins now are covered, that we don't have to pay the penalty for the sins that we covered, because Jesus has covered it all. And so in the midst of us doing this, Jesus has a concern for our well-being. So if we would look to Jesus as opposed to looking to ourselves and as opposed to looking in our fleshly ways and as opposed to looking to the world, that if we look to Jesus, then we know everything is going to be all right. If we look to Jesus and we know that we are covered, huh, by the blood of the Lamb, hallelujah, and that he has already dealt with some things, is there anybody out here that has a concern about the world today? Is there anybody out here that has a concern about what they see in our communities? Is there anybody out here that has a concern about what's going on in the government, about what's going on in different parts of the country? Well, I'm here to tell you that if we look to the hills from which cometh our help comes from the Lord. As Christians, we ought not to be fearful. As Christians, we ought not to be afraid. As Christians, we ought to walk with our head held high and not hanging low, because he's given us a power source in the person of the Holy Spirit. In the person of the Spirit of the living God. So when I look at this text, I surmise that there's more than just going on, that a son putting his mother in protective measure or protective care. I see it as a prototype or a foreshadowing of protection for all of us, but mostly for women, because we are seed carriers. The man is the seed bearer, but the woman is the one that carries the seed. So that means that if there's anything that God has told you, and it doesn't necessarily have to be a physical seed, it can be a spiritual seed. It can be an idea. There's something that God has given you that you're trying to bring to birth or trying to bring to fruition. What am I saying? I'm saying, be ye therefore encouraged. That if God has given you a plan, if God has given you something to do, then you need to push forth through it, because God has got your back. That he is covering you wherever you go and whatever you do. Whatever you do. So it's all about being covered. And that's what this night provides for us, or this time, or this season. It provides a covering, a separation, a barrier between us and Satan. And that God has got us in the palm of his hand. God bless you, and may heaven smile upon you.